This is an MUT Radio podcast.
It is MUT Radio Shape and On the Future, and you are listening to Timeless Music, and I'm your host, Ntokozo Wakaphelezi. As I've said earlier, we are going to have our guest at this moment, at this hour, where we say, hashtag Gibile Qongeni, hashtag the stage is yours. And I just played you one of his songs, Tembisa the People by Mr. Andile Waka Yenana. And if you don't know about Mr. Waka Andile Yenana, I'll just give you a short brief, ukuthi ungubani, and we'll speak to him right now because he's waiting on the call and we will talk more of his music and other stuff that's related with his art, you know. So if you don't know who to Mr. Yenana Ubani, Andile Yenana is a jazz pianist born in King's Williamstown, Eastern Cape, where he went to St. Francis College in Maran Hill, KZN, and Zangisa Seminary in Mthatha. His tertiary education commenced at Fort Hare University and the University of KwaZulu-Natal, from where he graduated in 1995 with a Bachelor of Music Jazz Studies. Andile Yenana worked as a session musician, producer, and a composer of his music, culminating in two studio recordings from Sheer Sound. The first album also generated 5 nominations for Summer Awards in 2006. He also won the Best Producer for the Best Traditional Jazz Album, Abantwana Be Africa, by Winston Mankungu Ngozi, the Best South African Music Album by Suthukazi Arus Ubuntu. Andile scored music for documentary's movie called Shouting Silent by Xoliswa Sithole and was a Standard Bank Young Artist Award winner for jazz in 2005. He premiered his work at Grahamstown's Art Festival that year. He was involved in teaching basic improvisation as part of the jazz curriculum offered to students at the Youth Jazz Festival in Grahamstown, Makanda. Andile was part of a band voice comprising of Happy Twaledi, Marcus Wainton, Sidney Mnisi, Lulu Kutsana, and later Marabo Morejele. These are some of the most influential jazz musicians who helped create the beginnings of the modern South African jazz sound we hear today. The band Voices has 2 studio recordings and has undertaken numerous tours, both locally and abroad. Mr. Yenana has toured USA, UK, Zimbabwe, Mozambique, Spain, Norway, Congo. Mr. Andile Yenana is waiting on the call. Mr. Yenana.
Yes, yeah, sir.
Ninjan.
Siyaphila
kakhulu. Thank you so much.
Oh, nice one.
Thank you so much for honoring invite yami ukuthi ube khona la emsakazweni, and thank you for taking your time ukuthi on a Sunday ube khona nathi la.
Hawu, no, siyabonga phela, siyabonga ukuthi no ube khona nomsakazo nje vele, you know.
Yeah.
Oyiparty ye institution, you know. Enomlando enjengaleyo osebenza kuyona involved with the jazz, you know, and the development and the history, you know, of the music, and you know, it's such a good thing, you know, community radio. You know we need these community radios. Siyavuya kakhulu.
Kubonga thina Mr. Yenana. I think njoba umuntu lokho efunda ikade ngifunda ibio yakhe, I think ngisengifunde more than 5 times. Each time mengiyifunda, I don't know, ngivele nje ngibe novalo ngiqhaqhazela ukuthi hey, imina lo one day owakwaba no Mr. Yenana endlini
eyi-one.
Hey. Which raises more questions ukuthi What influenced you, or what made you choose to play, to be a musician, and why did you choose a piano?
Okay, so what was the first question? I know about the piano. What was the first one?
What influenced you to make that decision that you want to take?
Okay. Well, I mean, there was a piano, a car, you know, it was bought, back in the day, during the height of the apartheid, you know, and my mom bought the piano from my brother, who was like, you know, highly into the struggle, activism, you know. So, I think, so that he doesn't, you know, end up out in the street and getting influenced and stuff like that. You know, those days it was brutal in South Africa, you know.
Yes.
If we detain you and people didn't know what was a boy or whatever. So, I mean, the piano was just one of those, you know, instruments, you know, that we used, you know, just to keep grounded, at least with a car, yeah? And football. You know, so it was all part of it. I mean, music and football was part of how people, you know, in the townships, mostly in South Africa, you know, black townships, that's how we got by, you know.
Yes.
So that was the influence, you know, came early on. Yeah.
So I know, Uguti, this happens at a very young age for you, but I want to know that day. How was the feeling? What tell us about that moment?
Hey, what a moment. I think when I got there, he was in the US.
Yes.
So I kept hearing my stories and there's this guy. There's a park there. I said, "Please, you know, park here." Used to be a nice park. They call it Jubilee Park. I still Japan because our practice block used to be next to that. You know, so we practice. And I saw him walking. You know, it's like, who is this guy? Forget his injuries. I'm a half done. I'm Muslim. What not to Nigeria? And that alone, gee, the appearance was something else. You know, my figure, and then, you know, he started hugging all of us and stuff like that. Yeah, when you're the king in Japan, you know, and then from then on, you know, he started, gee, spawning. So, you know what? Ngizeme agenda. I remember we had a band, Nabo Concord Ngabinde, and the late Dumsan Shang and Fanam Lambo, you know. And he just kept into that band, you know. He started his own thing. I mean, I remember also him starting a band, in Abo Faya Fagu and stuff like that. And then he started mentioning, hey, man. So he bent in Gela, it is where in war, it amalavana, what, you know. I think my daughter at the time didn't want to look at it that way, you know. So, what we know, I'm a walk out, you know. I mean, Gela's culture, it was, being a single toy, it was Utaban Buzz Bizane, a camera who's busy before he turned. Abandoned the camera, my were bent. It's like no see rockets. The one was into Chazenians, the one was into his Wutu, he was busy with tie. Zimawana quartet, Zimawana quintet, it wasn't something that was
very,
you know, being actually gang at the time. And so, you know, I ended up being the only one that was left in the initial meeting, you know. So I was the only one that got left. And then, we asked Concord from the other band, Sheila also. You know, I was really, you know, part of the whole thing. And then the rest is history, man. It was an amazing experience.
Wow.
You know.
Wow. I'm so interested to know, Uguti. During that time, I think you were still a student, né? So how did you how did you manage to balance school and performances? Because I know, Guti, there were times where you guys will go out on tour and play in different places, even maybe abroad as well. So how did you make sure that you balance your academics and the performances?
I mean, I don't know how it happened, because it was not only Zima, because, I mean, it was with Steve Dyer as well, because Steve Dyer also came in from exile. He spent a long time in exile. He was working with Gwangwa's band at the time, you know. He loved everybody in the South African Defense Force. Yeah, well, so it's like, hey, you know what, I changed my pants. My conscience, it doesn't really allow me to go and do this thing. So he left, and then he came back, and then wabuya waya lapha in Natal University azokwenza masters, you know.
Yes.
So I hit it off with him as well, and he also took me on another trip, because, you know, with him I ended up, I think it was my first year, I ended up in Joburg launching the album yakhe with the Zimbabwean guys, you know, staying in a club, and stuff like that. And yeah, and then starting to tour in Zimbabwe with him. So I would do 7 Squalo, you know, in between. It's kind of, I would have break in Zimbabwe, Zimbabwe, stuck maybe for like weeks without a gig.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get time to do your work and stuff like that. And then after that, I know that to my stage in Salala. So I learned on the road, but at the same time I was able to do my work. But it just so happened, you know, I was able to fulfill my task in school. But I mean, my best teacher was out on the street.
What?
It was the leaders, you know.
It's such a great story that you are just sharing today, because baningi abafundi who try and to learn to balance both. But I think with you, it also, maybe the people who are around there also maybe like played some parts in contribution towards maybe like also your study. Would you say that?
Because a lot of them. I mean, Utaras had something good going with Tukete, because more than anything else, more than what we were doing in class. But there was always a lot of musicians coming in.
Some
peers were at Darius coming in to play with him, coming in to give us some workshops. So we saw Abo Vitandoni, they were coming in all the time. Abo Tetembambisa, they were there. So there was this lunch hour concerts that were happening, you know. Kona Lapane, Howard College. And then we saw all these people coming in. So we learned from all of them. And then there was lunch hour concerts that were happening at the City Hall steps on Saturdays in the morning. Saturday morning. And there's an upright piano there. I remember the old man that used to be the MC, Lapane, I said, producer, I'm 90. So we played jazz led by the City Hall steps, number 10. You know, in the morning for people shopping, you know. And we started earning his money, you know, $2,300 as a student, you know, at least, you know. And then we started doing other gigs. I mean, I used to do gigs at the races. On Sundays, and then we had a gig. We had a couple of gigs, $250 and I was able to take care of myself in that way, you know. So,
it's very interesting, because after those times, tough times, I would say also tough times as well, because it wasn't all the time where it was smooth, because also juggling between the school and also the performance side. But however, few years down the line, I think it's paid off with the summers where you won. And I would like to know the joy that came on that day when with the nominations, you know, and also winning on the summers. How did you feel in that moment?
I mean, tell you the honest truth about it. It wasn't really that exciting kind of thing for me, you know? Because into Zenzegile, man, whilst I was already playing and doing things, you know. So you know, somebody says, hey, you know, we pat you on the back, say, hey, you've got that thing too. It's like, oh yeah. It's like, oh, okay. But I mean, I just didn't know.
Wow.
I didn't go into the whole thing of playing music to get my awards and all these things. I didn't know, you know, that there's awards. I knew there's money.
Yes.
I knew there was money. I mean, you know, I mean, from $300 that you get as a student, $150 that you get, you know, playing, you know, it's like, okay, cool. You know, I can get 3,000, you mean, and stuff like that. And it's like, okay, there's awards as well. It was just something that just happened along the way. You know, I didn't really set out to get all these things. I knew I was, you know, I had to play something. I had to do something. I mean, there was all sorts of considerations towards, you had to learn the music style. You had to learn, you know, certain songs. You had to learn the standards. You had to learn your repertoire, your lawyer. You had to learn their music, your lawyer, you know. Before you can even think about the money that you're going to get, sometimes you never got told how much you're going to get. It's just the excitement you would take about there's a gig you're going to go and play, you know what I mean? And then you play, and then, you know, this whole thing of, like, awards and things like that, and then, you know, come in and people say, hey, do you realize what it's such a great honor? I'm like, oh, yeah. You know?
Yes.
So I don't know if I can say I regret what I didn't, you know, look at it like that, but I mean, you know, I know there's a lot of money now with the awards.
Wow.
From recognitions and stuff like that. But I mean, before it was okay, man.
Mm.
It was okay. I mean, I didn't even collect some of those awards because I was busy doing something else. You know, I got a call, hey, you want something at the summers? Like, oh, okay. Wow. You know, when I did go, the nominations, I mean, I didn't get it. It was like, you know, when we'll be so bad to come back, but hey, ban, we're like, hey, man. Even if you sit in the front, you're thinking, good neighbor, they're going to call you because the sitting arrangement, you know, you're in the front.
Yes.
Ah, they called everybody. I didn't. Five nominations down the line, you didn't get it.
Wow.
So people say, hey, man, it's cool if you get a nomination. It's okay, man. It's fine. It's part of what the record companies also, you know, put out and stuff like that, you know. Like, okay.
Wow.
Nice to play the music, man. I mean, it was just too much music in my radar at the time, you know. And it took care of me. It took care of my rent. It took care of my lifestyle and everything and stuff like that. And all the other stuff that goes with it, you know, it's okay. You know?
Wow. You know, given us, you took 30 break and I want us to play one song. The name of this song, it's Rwanda. What inspired you to name the song as Rwanda? Because I'm so in love with the song, by the way. It's one of the songs, I think every week I play this song on my playlist.
Oh,
you know, but I would like to know the story, because Ekalimizlale Thembisa, the people, it's for me, I find your titles, it's like you're sending a message, or you are telling a story within your music. However, I think I do recall the other day I asked you, Uguti, Mr. Yenana, why is it important to do improvisation? And you said to me, that's your voice, you know? If you've got four people and they don't know how to speak, they can't speak, That's not right. You need to be able to have a voice. And I remember it was during the time when there was a song, and you gave me such encouraging words to interpret ukuthi improvisation iyini kodwa in a different way, you know. So I would like to know ukuthi what inspired this title? What was the story behind Rwanda?
Rwanda, it was such a, when I listen back after we recorded, I didn't have titles for the songs before I went into the studio. But I listened to, when I was listening back after the recording, there was a sense of kind of sadness in it. And then I remembered what happened in Rwanda, the genocide, that happened in Rwanda. And it coincided with 1994, when we were gaining our democracy and freedom. It's like, it's quite an ironic kind of situation, you know. There's a genocide happening in 1994 in South Africa. There's a surge of euphoria, sense of victory and freedom and Mandela and all these things. It's like we're celebrating here as people are dying over there. So it was that kind of moment that I got when I listened to this song. But, I'll always be reminded of the ironies, that happen in life, So it's basically in memory of what happened in that country, and also, in memory of how it was, how it felt for us in 1994 as a people, as a new nation that was birthed, that thing at the time,
Siyabonga kakhulu Mr. Yenana. Ucela ukuthi ungadrophi and we are coming back with you. We'll just play this song and then after the song,
okay, cool, we're gonna come back.
That was Rwanda by Andile Yenana, and you are listening to MUT Radio Shaping on the Future. The time is 43 minutes to 5 o'clock, and we are still talking to Mr. Andile Yenana. Mr. Andile Yenana, what a lovely song. It gives different emotions. The brass section, I don't know what to say on this song. Which gave me more, questions, raises more questions around, because I've been seeing you lately, where you're performing, Wuti. You always have the youth performing with you on stage. And some of them, it's the brass section. So I want to know, Guti, why youth? Why youth? Because there's even umgqoqo wabantu that you have with students. I want to know what's your passion around youth in terms of music and also giving them the platform as well to share their stories. As you have said in your with your improvisation, Guti, everyone has to have a voice.
Hey man, firstly I must thank you, man. Yes, to play the whole song like that, man. Jeez. Yes, I remember when we record, introduction, because it's not going to be radio friendly. So it's nice, man, when you can hear the whole composition just being played. Look, I was just, listening to this thing, I'm like, I was young when I played that music also, I was, I think I was in my, young is quite relative, really, I was in my mid-30s somewhere, I'm just listening now, I'm like, wow, man, it's like, when you're fearless, young people are supposed to be fearless,
Yes.
That's how it is. That's how life is, And, you know, it's the best years of your life, you know, when you, you know, when you're young, actually, also, you know, I mean, irrespective of whatever, you know, mistakes that you can make as a young person, but I mean, it's really the prime, you know,
yes,
of your life. And should you step on to the other, you know, side of your life where you are matured and you're an older person, wiser person, mm-hmm. and you still, you know, are able to say, you know, what you want to say without any fear, it's even a plus, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, say it nice, say it loud, say it clear. I mean, I'm talking musically as well. I mean, I'm also, it could be artistically as well, you know, yes. in the visual art, you know, the growth of an artist, you know, it's all about being fearless. And it starts from when you're a young person in the art, in the music, in whatever field, in the dance, right up until when you're a mature person, you know, that sense of not fearing. You know, expression and the whole thing of jazz and improvisation, really, it's about, you know, you can't improvise if you have fear, you know.
Mm.
So it's just getting into the unknown, and this is what I'm hearing from that recording. It's like, yeah, we went into the deep end and we were not scared.
Yes.
And the fact that I'm working with young people, it's to bring out that, like, yeah, let's go. You, the guys that are supposed to be fearless at your age. So let's go. You know?
Wow.
All I do is just to guide here and there and say, hey, la panala, 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 and let's just go.
Mm.
You know, it's nice. It's a journey that I'm walking with the young people as well.
Mm.
You know? I'm learning as well, you know, and learning on how they approach. How they deal with their fears, how they deal with their insecurities and stuff like that, and you know,
yes.
how they overcome, you know, some of these, you know, stumbling blocks, whatever, you know, whatever you want to call it.
Yes.
And you learn from that as well as an older person. Also, you know, you just give your whatever advice that you can. And then we're moving on. It's that kind of, you know, situation. That's why I work with young people.
Wow.
You know, you have to. You know, it keeps you younger as well. And, also, yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, no fear, man.
Thank you so much, Mr. Hedan, for giving us that information. I think when is the next album coming out? Because I think we need more.
Well, I mean, there's another one that's out there that, I mean, it's with me. I did it in Switzerland as a live recording, you know. It's one of those, you know, special recordings that, you know, I am yet to release. I did it in 2018, man. It's still there. I'm just looking for opportunities to try to release it. You know, I was able to do the two albums because I had a recording deal with a company, you know, so it was like, hey, you record, hey, let's, you know, do a second one. And I was able to do that. I didn't have to think about session fees. I didn't have to think about, you know, all these things, you know, you get your advance and all these things and blah, 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 blah. So now I'm in an era where, you know, you have to self-fund, you know, projects, you know, on your own. You know, I'm learning from the young people that are out there that are doing their own, you know, self-funded projects and releasing albums and stuff like that. So it's that thing of also that I was talking about, no fear, you know, you know. So, you know, trying to balance that, you know.
Yeah.
Your fears and your goals, you know, where do you put fear? where do you put your goals? You know, do you put your goals first? You know, do you trust, you know, that you will, you know, will succeed? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, in time.
Kunjalo nje, Mr. Yenana. In closing, where people could find you, and when is your next performance? Maybe one could go and purchase a ticket and go and listen to you while performing.
My next performance is Andile Yenana will be at the Headroom, you know, in Sea Park,
Sea View.
In Durban. Yeah. Yes, Sea View. There's a beautiful spot there. There's a beautiful place there. There's, you know, this wonderful couple that has, you know, been, you know, part of the music revival in Durban, Ulungi and Maria's Water. You know, they've got this wonderful space there. So I'll be performing there, man, you know, with my group, Spoonzube on drums and Tuto Mutima on bass, and I'll be doing some solo piano as well, just mix it all up. It's on the 1st of June on Saturday. It's an afternoon gig, starts at about 3 o'clock, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, nice, you know, picnic situation, you know, come around and, you know, yeah, people can check it out.
Definitely, yeah. I'm going to be there and looking forward to seeing you there. So just tell us, Oti, where can people find you on social media? And also, if they want to reach out to you, how they could find you? Maybe your email address or something like that.
Well, my email address is andileyenana.1@gmail.com, you know. And then I'm on Instagram as well, as andileyenana as well, you know.
Thank you so much, Mr. Andile Yenana, once again for taking your time to be nathi lana, and sibonga kakhulu. Siyazi ukuthi umuntu ohlezi busy, but thank you so much. We're very honored to host.
Siyabonga ntokozo. Hey, man. Cool. No fear, man. Just go ahead. Yeah.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.